Rev it up and welcome to Cars Yeah, show number 2488. Be prepared to be inspired.
This is Cars Yeah, where you'll enjoy interviews with inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Mark Green is here to provide you with a fuel injection of automotive inspiration. So get in, sit down, buckle up, and get ready for a wild ride here on Cars Yeah.
Hello, inspiring automotive enthusiasts, and welcome to Cars Yeah. Today I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, with a very special guest by the name of Kaya Milstein. Kaya, welcome to Cars Yeah. Do you have any gear, and are you ready to release the clutch?
Let's go.
All right, we're going to have some fun today. Now, before I introduce you and we dive into what you're doing and an awesome new book that has just come out, what's one little thing that people don't know about Kaya?
I am the oldest of 15 children.
Oh my gosh.
Right? My parents are Hasidic Jews. My father is a rabbi. And I am the oldest of 15 kids. And I believe 12 are girls out of the whole bunch. So.
Oh, God bless your father. Oh my goodness. Well, I have a daughter and a son, just two children. But I will say raising a daughter is a little bit more challenging for us guys. My wife helped me get through some of those unique years, those teenage years when things were changing and hormones flying everywhere. Wow, that is absolutely amazing. Well, we're going to learn a little bit more about that. Oh my gosh. Okay, that gives me a little better understanding of the oldest of all these kids, because the oldest child of a big family ends up being almost a second parent in many ways for lots of those kids, because you kind of have to, right?
Yeah. My dad didn't have a whole lot of involvement in the girl part of our lives. We a lot of us raised each other in many ways.
I understand. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's go with this. Kaya Milstein is an automotive educator. She's an influencer and the author of a new book that just came out, Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership, Uncomplicated Cars for All of Us. She unapologetically stands out in a crowd, flaunting her fashion sense. She's wearing that today, while teaching us about cars, traveling the world, and breaking all kinds of norms. Kaya made it her life's mission to educate women and queer people about their cars. She dedicated her career to educating the average car owner, not the automotive enthusiast, about their cars, which a lot of people do need some help there. A career she found and built after aging out of the foster care system. She's taught her popular car classes at libraries, universities, nonprofits, and businesses. Kaya has worked with national and international automotive brands, including CarMax, Tire Rack, iFixit, and Jerry. And she's been featured in AARP, NPR's A Life Kit, Oprah Magazine, Car Talk, and the Chicago Tribune. And she's also written for AAA's Via Magazine, Parent Magazine, Shondaland, am I saying that right? Shondaland?
Yes, Shonda Rhimes has a publication called Shondaland.
There you go. And PBS's Next Avenue. We'll be back in just a moment, but first a word from our sponsors. So give them a little love. Buckle up. It's going to be a fun ride today. We'll be right back. Hey, guess what? Some of you regular listeners will remember back in 2019, I created 10, 11 shows called Cars Yeah TV, where I went to some fabulous locations of past Cars Yeah guests, and we did a TV show about it. Well, they're up on the Cars Yeah YouTube channel. So go check it out at YouTube. Just type in Cars Yeah, and the shows will be there for you to enjoy. I hope you have fun watching. For several years now, you've heard me talk about Linkage Magazine. I've been a subscriber since the start. They're talented and creative team brings you a spectacular publication and website that shares the automotive passion from a worldwide perspective. Linkage is about driving, restoring, collecting, and firsthand experience at collector car auctions and more. They bring you real-world values plus rational, experienced opinions on the current markets. They cover the automotive world and the people who share our passions. And Linkage Magazine has grown, mailing you 6 issues annually. Join me on this journey with Linkage. They're geared for the automotive life. You can subscribe at linkagemag.com. Are you ready to take charge of your financial future? Then let me introduce you to Capitalize Your Finances. It's an online course designed to empower you with the knowledge and tools for mastering your money. This course will help you lay out the ins and outs of budgeting, the importance of emergency funds, investing strategies, and how to plan for a secure retirement. All this presented by financial planner Chris Paniotou. Chris has developed this course to help you effectively navigate your world of finance with confidence. Stop stressing about money and start taking control. Enroll in Capitalize Your Finance online course today and pave your way to financial success. To learn more, go to capitalizepodcast.com/courses, or better yet, go to the Cars Yeah website, show notes page for today's show, and click on the link under Capitalize Your Finances. You'll be glad you did. Do it today. So, Kaya, we are back. So, wow, there's a lot to unravel here with your life. And you're a young woman. May I share your age today? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
29 years old. Pretty young from my side of the fence. You're younger than my daughter, so there you go. But you are packing a wall up here in what you're doing. And most importantly, the reason I wanted to have you on today was to talk about your book. And we will get to that. But I want to go back in time a little bit here and talk a little bit about your passion for cars, because it came from somewhere. And my understanding is before you started Mechanic Shop Femme in 2017, you actually worked in repair shops, right?
That's right. You know, I started my automotive career completely by mistake. I
was by mistake.
It was. Listen, I was 18. I was aging out of the foster care system. And an incredible woman reached out and helped me get an interview at Sears. And then, you know, I went in for the interview, and when the HR manager asked me what department I wanted to work in, I kind of blurted out the first thing that came to my Capricorn brain, you know, going along with the oldest of 15 kids, I'm also a Capricorn, so you can imagine I'm a workaholic. Yep. And I said, whichever department makes the most money. I landed in the auto center.
Wow. Okay.
Ironically, at the time, you know, it was one of the best performing departments in Sears. And I actually had to go get my driver's license for the job, because foster kids do not get a driver's license for the most part in the United States until after they've aged out of care due to liability and other problems. And something that, you know, one day I hope to help address in whatever way that's possible.
I had no idea that that happened. Wow.
Yeah. You know, when you go with your kid to get their driver's license, most of the time you're signing for liability for their driving, which becomes complicated when you're in foster care. And, you know, what I said back then was, I didn't know a bumper from an oil change, but that changed very quickly.
Yeah. You
know, my driver's license, I started the job, but it didn't last long, because a few months after I started the job, I totaled my car.
Uh-oh.
And here you have to paint the picture. I had three part-time jobs at the time. Sears Auto Center, I was also serving food, and I was also working for Jimmy John's doing delivery, because now I had to pay for the car.
Right.
So a few months in, I totaled my car, and I decided to move to New York City. And that's where kind of everything got going. Within a very short period of time, I became a regular on the top 10 service advisor sales ranking on a national level, and really fell in love with helping car owners better understand their vehicles. It was really a kind of a unique experience that I never expected that I would get into. I definitely thought this was just a jumping off point for me. And, you know, when they always tell you, if you have a job, it's easier to get another job. So just get a job and then you'll figure out the next thing. But that's not how it went for me.
Wow. You know, this is fascinating to me, and how it has evolved into where you are today, because in this very short time since you were 18 and now pre-30-year-old, the fact that you've really dived into this world. So what is it about the automotive sector that has kept you there and made you get so happy with it and do so much with it?
I think that for anybody who knew me back when I started, it wouldn't surprise them that I've transitioned to teaching car owners specifically and not car enthusiasts about their cars. I always asked a million questions, and I took so much pride in making sure that every customer that I dealt with understood what I was selling them, and then ultimately left my counter confident about the choices that they made with their vehicles. And those questions would get me in trouble sometimes. I'd go into the shop and I would ask and I would look and I would prod and I would offer other solutions. And we all know mechanics don't usually like to be questioned.
No, they don't like people looking over their shoulder, that's for sure.
But I it wasn't about questioning what they did, and it wasn't about the solutions they came to. It was about understanding, because ultimately I had to stand in front of the customer and I had to put my integrity on the line, and I had to tell them what the problem was, and I had to understand that problem at its fullest in order to be able to sell that with confidence to the customer. And so that was kind of like sort of how it all started. And then Mechanic Shop Femme started about 7.5 years ago. I started with a similar mission to help the average car owner better understand how to buy and sell and maintain and insure their cars, but in a thoughtful, respectful, and no jargon way that quickly became a hit. And, you know, I started Mechanic Shop Femme as a blog. It was a way for me to make a little bit of extra money, even though I didn't know how that would happen. I just knew that I had to start a blog. And I started into a blog, and very quickly it grew into a series of virtual automotive classes, 8 of them. I have 8 different classes. And then the educational videos that are on social media, with a following that I have now of over 790,000. By the way, 87% of my following are women. Wow. 87% of my following are women, which I think is mind-boggling. Yeah. To folks that are in this industry. Mark, you could probably reflect back on the numbers you see on who listens to your podcast and who goes onto your website. And you know that this is a pretty big accomplishment.
It's very fascinating to me, because you hit you did exactly what they say about starting something, anything, a business or whatever. Find a void and fill it. And I kind of get it, because the automotive world is a guy world and has been for a long time. It's changing, and we'll get into that. However, helping women with their cars so they don't feel helpless when it comes to changing a tire or how to care for their vehicle. And if they didn't have somebody in their life that was a car fanatic like I did, where I was taking my kids out going, I'm going to show you how to change the oil. And they're like, oh, Dad, you know, like, nope, you're going to learn how to do this. Yeah. Or the famous one in our family is, did you read your owner's manual? You know, so
you will be happy to know that there is an entire chapter in my book dedicated to the owner's manual.
Yay!
I think it's a critical part of vehicle ownership, and one that most people, including automotive enthusiasts and even professionals, have never really taken the time to dig into.
Yeah, I guess, when you're crazy like me, the first thing I do when I buy a new car is that night I'm sitting there in bed reading the owner's manual front to back, you know. But the other part of it is owner's manuals have become kind of dumbed down. Because I think car manufacturers have realized that in some cases people just don't read these things. So, you know, they just become kind of dumbed down because they figure nobody's going to read them. But I want to get back to this thing you started with your blog and how that's evolved, because it's just exploded in a very short period of time.
Well, 7.5 years with a lot of work. And if you know me, you know how much work I put into anything that I do. And although I was working a full-time job in the industry for many years while simultaneously running my business, there wasn't a lack of work for my part. You know, I did a lot. I remember working at one of my final jobs in the collision industry, because I did work in a lot of different parts of the industry because I wanted to learn everything I possibly could from as many places as I could. And I was working there, and I told my boss, I said, hey, the Chicago Tribune is coming to photograph me on my lunch break. I need like an extra 15 minutes to change my clothes and put on makeup. And don't worry, I'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes, because they're going to shoot me like literally down the road from the shop, right in the middle of a dead end, so that I don't have to go too far so I can come back to work. I invested a huge amount of time, and I still do. I most weeks I've averaged between 60, usually closer to 70 and 100 hours per week in work to this day.
Yeah, I understand. Try doing 5 podcasts a week for 9 years. Yeah, that's what you do. Well, you're a fellow Capricorn like me, so we speak the same language. We understand. We're not afraid of hard work. And one of the cool things, and we'll put a link to Kaya's website here on her show notes page, but it's easy to find, is the new book that you just came out with. And that's why I really wanted to have you on today, is talk about this book and why you did it, number one, what it's meant for you, and a little bit about what's in it. And the first thing I wanted to touch on when I look at the book is the dedication pages. This book is dedicated to you. Yes, you. So you're dedicating this book to the reader, people interested in learning, right?
I am. You know, I do something that most people don't realize they need. You know, you said a little earlier that women feel helpless in repair shops. And part of the reason for that is because these spaces have been intentionally gate kept from us. They've been intentionally fenced out. You know, your husband will go take care of your car. Your dad will go take care of your car. Your boyfriend will go take care of your car because you couldn't possibly make the right decision when you went into the shop. You're definitely going to be scammed by the mechanic. And as somebody who spent close to 7.5 years working in repair and collision shops and dealing with the husbands and boyfriends and fathers that y'all are sending into those repair shops, I can tell you that most men that come into a repair shop are not nearly prepared. They did not do their research. They do not know. And if you suggest them something and make it seem like it's their idea, then they're probably going to do it, even if it's not the right thing for their car or for the repair. And selling to men is a challenge as a woman because they come in and they know it all to this day. You know, I talked to Motor last week. They ran a story on my work. And one of the things was, I was like, listen, you're going to cry. You're going to cry a lot. And even when you are at the top of your field, when you are known for what you do and how you do it, people are still going to question what your education level is from. So when I set out to write this book and when I, you know, say that I dedicate it to the reader, it's because people have come across what I do. They've come across my videos or they've seen a post about me, or an article, or listened to a podcast, and they decide that the knowledge that I share is valuable enough to them that they're going to take some time out of their day and learn about it. Because women have felt excluded from these spaces and queer folks have felt excluded from these spaces, and they recognize that even though this is a really uncomfortable thing to be in and a really uncomfortable place to explore, that they have found a space where they can be safe, where they can be heard, and where they can be acknowledged for the person that they are. So yes, I'm thinking my community and my readers and all the people who got me to this moment today, where, you know, I have a book published by one of the largest publishers in the whole world.
Awesome.
That teaches the regular stuff for people. And I'm proud of that.
But you should be. You should be. Absolutely. And, you know, that's the key to anybody's success is get yourself educated. And today, it's easier than it ever has been in the history of mankind with, I'll give YouTube. I just had an issue with my wife's X5. I'm not really a great mechanic, but I kind of know my way around a little bit. But she had an interesting situation on her car, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. And I went and YouTubed a few things and immediately figured out what had happened is that a part had been left out the last time I took the car in, and that was causing the leak. It was a very simple little thing. It was a strainer in the reservoir for the windshield washer. But that little strainer creates the pressure buildup to release without popping a valve or a seal and making the thing leak.
Wow.
I would have never thought of that, you know? But again, one guy with a 2-minute video taught me. I ordered a new one, filled it up, and guess what? Doesn't leak anymore. So I'm guessing the mechanic that worked on it last took that out to fill it, forgot to put it back in, and there you go. So the things that we can learn these days when we educate ourselves with this book, and I don't want to give everything away, but I'm going to ask a couple questions here. What's the most common challenge for the non-mechanic who has to deal with their car that they face? What's one of the things that was a reoccurring issue that's a pretty simple thing, but if you just learn it, you can get yourself out of all sorts of trouble?
I think the simplest thing that you should know is that you should take your car into a mechanic before you buy it. Whenever you're going to purchase a vehicle, instead of just relying on yourself and your quick inspection of it and the dealership's mechanics inspection and your test drive, to invest that $50 to $150, take your car into a mechanic for pre-purchase inspection. It's going to save you a lot of money and a lot of heartache over many years to come. And a lot of people don't realize that it's something they can do. And even if they think that they want to, they find that they get a lot of pushback when they go into the dealership and say, hey, I'm going to take my car to the mechanic. Because a lot of it depends on the approach. It also depends on the dealership and a lot of other factors. An interesting thing for you to know is that the Federal Trade Commission actually writes right on their website that if a dealership tells you that they don't want you to take the car to a mechanic, that you should consider going to another dealer.
You should go to another dealer.
Right? If they give you pushback, you can bring that up. And you could say, hey, look, right here, the Federal Trade Commission says that this is something we should do. Are you sure that that's not something that's okay with you? I mean, is there anything wrong with the car that I should know about? And you might see their way of approaching you turn around just a little bit.
Well, of course you will. Absolutely. But a PPI is absolutely imperative. And you think about a car is probably the second most expensive thing you'll ever buy, aside from a house, most likely. And how many people I call the red mist. They fall in love with the red paint, or, you know, they always wanted this kind of vehicle and now they found one and they just ignore everything else. I've had many friends take me with them and they say, would you come with me and talk me out of this car? Because I've already bought it and I haven't even seen it because I've been looking for that for so long. And sometimes they listen to me and other times they don't. Sometimes it works out and other times it didn't work out at all. And they say, I should have listened to you when they're going, how much can I give you for the car today? And I'm going, there's a hole under the floor mat here. Did you know this car is full of rust? You know, you're exactly right. I think that is the best advice because you have the most power when you're about to buy a car than you'll ever have. Because once you sign that, if you're going to finance it, or you write that check, if you're going to pay cash, all your power is gone.
Yeah. And that car belongs to you with all of its problems. Because in almost all cases, if you are buying a used car, you are purchasing it as is. And the Lemon Law that many people reference after they bought a used car with problems doesn't protect them when they're purchasing a used car. Right. With very few exceptions in very few states.
Right. And I'll tell you, I've had many people on my show now that do inspections all across the country. You can find, if you're buying a used vehicle, you can, because you are protected with new vehicles to a certain point, but used vehicles. And a lot of people have been on my show and a lot of companies now, online companies, have PPI people. So if you're buying a car across the country, you don't have to get on a plane to fly there. If you're going to buy an expensive car, spend the money. Go there and look at it. But you can hire a professional mechanic to look at this car and do all sorts of checks so that when it arrives on that delivery truck, you don't look at it and go, is this the same car that was in the ad? It doesn't look the same at all. And I've had friends that have done that too.
Yeah, I recommend the Lemon Squad if you're not going to go with a local mechanic, which is your best choice. Like if you can go with a local mechanic, you're going to get the best bang for your buck and you're probably going to get the most thorough inspection because they have access to the tools and a lift and things that you won't get when somebody just comes out to the mechanic shop. But if you are looking for somebody that's going to go to the dealership for you, especially if you're buying a car from far away or you just don't have the time or energy to go through the hassle of taking it somewhere, the Lemon Squad has mechanics across the United States and Canada. And they will come to you. They will test drive the car. They will take photos of every panel and they will provide you with a pretty comprehensive report. I've been recommending them for many, 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 many years. But I've also had a friend use them just a couple of years ago, saved her from buying a car with a massive transmission problem.
Yes. The CEO and founder of Lemon Squad, Edward Peterson, was a guest on my show. And you can also find out he also started a company called Wrench, which is tied to the same thing. What he's done for people has been absolutely tremendous. So check them out. Check out his show on the Cars Yeah website. I want to talk about influencers, which you are, but someone who's influenced you, what I call a driving inspiration for you that has helped you along to get you where you are today. I assume you're the kind of person that has surrounded yourself with the right people, but is there one person in particular that really stands out for you?
Listen, I definitely try to surround myself with the right people. You read my book, Mark, so you know that there are 3 full pages of acknowledgements at the end of it.
Yeah, quite tremendous.
And that barely touches all the beautiful souls that have knowingly and many of which unknowingly helped me get to where I am today. You know, I've a decade under my belt in this industry and that sounds like a lot, but it's definitely not. And, you know, you can attest to that, Mark. But if I were to talk about just one person, that would be master mechanic and industry leader, Jill Trotta, who I know you've had on your show.
Yeah.
When I got your message on LinkedIn, she was the first person I sent that to. I was like, do you know this person?
Yep.
Do you know this podcast? And she had great things to say about you. From the moment she messaged me, and I was a complete stranger on Facebook, with a helping hand to help find an automotive industry job that I was desperately searching for at that time. She became an incredible mentor and friend. I asked her to do me the honor of writing the foreword to my book, and she didn't even hesitate for a second. I think that Joel Trotta exemplifies grace and kindness. She's thoughtful and so generous with her time and knowledge. She's the one that's going to mention your name in rooms full of opportunities, even when she herself is looking for her next opportunity. And you know, the special thing is, like, there's a lot of great people out there, but Jill is aware of the challenges that women and queer folks like me face in the industry, because although she's an insider at this point in her career, she's one of us, and she has and probably continues to face challenges that are very similar in her own career.
Yep, absolutely. Joe was a guest back in 2019, show number 1277. And you can go back and listen to my talk with Jill. She's great. Definitely a helper in the world. Challenges, though. Doing what you're doing has had some challenges. It's come with challenges. We talked a little bit about that. I'd love for you to talk about one in particular that you can look back on now and was perhaps very challenging and not so fun to go through at the time, but now you look back and say, I'm glad I learned that lesson.
You know, I know you want me to talk about one instance, Mark, but being a queer fat woman in the automotive industry is not an easy feat. And I've wanted to give up hundreds of times. I've been at the lowest of lows, you know, losing my job during the pandemic and hoping like everybody else. And I've been at the highest of highs and I've cried a million times over the last decade. But I have to keep going because ultimately the challenges I have aren't just about me. What I do is for women who make 85% of our all car buying decisions in the United States while fighting for basic respect and dignity at the dealerships that they're spending their hard-earned money on. It's for the countless of women who are fixing cars at mechanic shops without clothing that fits them properly, especially when they're pregnant, using men's bathrooms because there are no other options available to them, and fighting for their managers to have their back throughout the whole process. Because we don't just face challenges with our coworkers and colleagues and management, but we also face challenges with the customers that are coming in that have a very particular idea of what somebody who works in the automotive industry should look like. It's for women and queer people who want to fix cars, but are refused the opportunity or laughed out of their classes, despite the raging mechanic shortage we have right now going on in this country. And it's for every queer person that's been misgendered at a mechanic shop or called names behind their back while the repair shop happily takes their hard-earned money. So, you know, my path has been rocky and it's hard and it's full of potholes and obstacles. But ultimately, I think that these challenges are all worth it because the impact that I'm able to have with the work that I do, whether it's for people out of the industry or people inside of the industry, you know, it makes it all worth it at the end.
I've had guests on this show that are women that are shop foremen, work in shops, have had these same problems in front of customers going, well, I'm not going to talk to you. You're a woman. You don't know how to work on a car.
Listen, I was a service manager.
Yeah, you did it.
23 years old, managing a shop full of men that were twice my age.
Yeah. Having shared that story, what would be your advice for women, anybody really, but women in particular, that are facing this thing, that help them get through that so they don't give up and so that they can learn ways to not be combative, but forceful, I guess? Maybe that's the wrong word to use, but you know what I'm talking about. What would be a piece of advice you would offer someone facing those challenges at any kind of level, depending on who they are, what they are, how they identify? What's a tip you could offer them?
I think finding your people, like your community, that's going to be like the most critical skill, because it's going to be hard. Like I told you earlier, told Motor, you're going to cry a lot, but the sooner you find your people, you're going to find places where you can vent, because it's really hard to vent to your colleagues that don't understand your experience. Places where you can feel empowered, that the easier it's going to get for you. There's a great Facebook group called the Female Mechanics Alliance on that is a really awesome resource. It's actually where I met Jill. I posted in there that I just recently moved back to Wisconsin, and I had literally called every mechanic shop in Google looking for a job, and I couldn't find a, I couldn't even get an interview.
Yeah.
Despite having run a super successful multi-six figure mechanic shop in Brooklyn, and I had tons of experience under my belt. That's where I met Jill, because she reached out to me in that moment. She's like, let me help you. There's also Women in Auto Care, which is a community of women, not just in repair shops, but in all levels of the automotive industry. You got the marketing folks from AutoZone. You got the people from Parts Tech. You have people from the tech companies, from the repair companies, from the brake manufacturers, like all of these different people sort of in one space, and they have conferences, but they also have online opportunities where you can be part of a community. And then there's the Women of Color Automotive Network, which is another great community that if you are a woman of color or a person of color, that would be a great place for you to be involved in. Because despite talking about how women make up mere percentage points of the industry, people of color make up even smaller portions of that community. So if you are a woman of color, if you are a Black woman in the automotive industry, the amount of people that you can go to that are part of, you know, have the same background as you do and from the same spaces that you do is nearly non-existent. So these are all great places. And if you're on the other side, you're on the dealership side, there's the Women in Automotive community. I personally haven't participated, but I know that they're doing great things for women who are on the dealership side. Ultimately, I would recommend that you have a goal in mind. Decide what's the point of what you're doing and focus on that. And hopefully that will make, you know, the heartache worth it at the end.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that works for everybody and anybody. You've got to have that goal set. And understand what's the target here, how am I going to get there, and how am I going to work there. But the great thing today, we talked about this, you and I, before we got on the show here today, is there are so many avenues that exist now. And I look back to when my Jill, when we were, you know, in the 80s, none of this, the internet didn't even exist. There was nowhere to go. And, you know, she would come home to me upset, you know, about what somebody said to her that day or what she did. And I try to help as much as I can, but I'm not in her skin. I don't understand that, you know, it's, you know, you try to be a good listener, but nowadays there's so many places to go and explore and see. And I'll make sure I put some of those links on Kaya's show notes page, so you listening out there can go find those. I want to talk a little bit more about you and cars, because you must love cars, because when I look at the field you've chosen, is there one special vehicle, maybe except that first car you crashed, that stands out for you?
So I am not an automotive enthusiast as much as it would seem that way. I'm really a people person. I really like people, and cars have happened to be the avenue that I've done it through. And I've grown to love cars in general, just not in the special way that automotive enthusiasts tend to like cars.
Not as crazy as me, huh?
Also, it could be the fact that I'm just a large woman, and some of these cars that people are super enthusiastic about aren't comfortable for my body. So, you know, wouldn't be my first choice. But I do have a car story for
you. Okay, I love it.
When the pandemic first started, I was working at a collision shop that was part of a national chain in Milwaukee. And my boss, there was nothing to do, remember? There was no cars driving at that first, like, couple of weeks. Yeah. Everybody was at home. It was, like, really, really intense. And my boss brought in this beautiful old yellow Toyota pickup truck, like the 4x4, gorgeous truck. And, you know, we didn't have a lot to do. And he let me come in on my day off and have a totally glamorous, fun photo shoot with the yellow truck before he painted it white, because that's why he brought it. He's like, yellow, what do we need a yellow truck for? And I was like, yellow truck, I can't wait, this is great. I was laid off a few days after that photo shoot.
Oh, and, no.
Which sounds really awful, but those photos that I took with the truck helped me kick my business into high gear. And I've never had to go back and work for anybody else. Like, that was my, wow. I took those photos and I took some more photos and I used them to advertise what I'd already been doing for years and scale it in a way that I had never expected, because I was working 50 hours a week,
right,
for, and it just helped blossom and bloom the whole thing. When I was thinking back on the stories and like kind of my full circle moments here as I published my first book, I was like, you know what? That's a car. That's a truck that really was impactful. And it was so beautiful. I wish he wouldn't have painted it white.
What a fun story. And it just exemplifies how, in many cases, and in a unique, different way, I would never have thought of how a car inspires either somebody seeing it or somebody owning it or somebody using it for a photo shoot or whatever. Who would have thought that a little simple Toyota pickup truck could have blossomed into what you've created? I think it's fantastic. Awesome story. When we were first talking this morning before we got on the air here, you said this was a challenging question for you, and it is for many of my guests. If you were a vehicle, if you were manifest, reincarnated as a vehicle, what would you be, but more importantly, why?
I would be the Lexus GX 550 because I feel like it really is what I am. It's a big, boxy truck that's assertive in its own way, yet it's totally glamorous and fabulous and luxe. And I feel like if I had to be a truck, that's that's the truck that I would probably be. And it's also my favorite truck. Like, that's, if you ask me what's your dream vehicle that you'd want one day, that would definitely be my,
there you go,
my vehicle.
I understand. Great answer to that question. So I always ask my guests to share a book, but of course today we want to share your book, Kaya, Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership. And I'll make sure I put a link to that of where you can go to get a copy of that. Of course, Amazon. Are there other places the book will be available? And will you be doing a book tour?
Yes, absolutely. So the book is available anywhere books are sold. It's being published by, it's been published by a major publisher, one of the biggest in the world, Hachette. So you can buy it from Amazon. You can buy it from indie bookstores. You can buy it from Barnes & Noble. You can buy it wherever you purchase books. And not just that, if you go to my website, you can buy a book for somebody else, because this is a basic guide for the average car owner that's going to make a huge difference in people's lives, especially folks that don't have a lot of money to spare, the next car emergency could be what is the thing that's between them and keeping their job, or the thing between them and being able to make rent next month. So you can buy a book for somebody else. It's $20. It's not very expensive, but it's going to make a big difference in somebody's lives. And then you said that I'm going on a book tour. And I feel like that leads into what I think is going to be your next question that you told me in advance, would be how I give back. So yes, you give back through the book, but I'm also giving back through my book tour, because giving back and helping and supporting my communities, it's really what I do. It's at the heart of everything. So every April for the last 4 years, I produced a series on social media profiling and featuring women and queer-owned mechanic shops across the country. This is something very different from anything you've seen anywhere else. I go through Google, myself and my team, and we search every state and major cities for women and queer-owned mechanic shops, and we email them. This year, we emailed over 250 mechanic shops. And then when they say yes, because it's a free feature, they will answer some questions for me, and they send me footage of their mechanic shops. And what I do is I script and then create a voiceover over their footage, telling the story of their shop, what they offer, and how they help their communities. So, and here's another full circle moment, because I love full circle moments, you know, bringing everything to a complete close, even if it takes a long time to get there. But in the fourth year of this series, which is this year, my book is coming out. So I am heading on a national book tour, which kicked off on April 9th and will continue through the beginning of May. And instead of going to bookstores and libraries, I'm going to be visiting
shops.
Right?
Yeah.
16 women, queer, and POC-owned mechanic shops across the country.
Wow.
Right? Many of which that I featured in previous years of this series. I'm super proud of how it came together. This is not being footed by the publisher. This is my, you know, my idea, my concept. I've built out the whole tour. I found the shops. Thanks to the generosity of 4 incredible automotive industry sponsors, iFixit, RepairPal, Loop, and GSP North America, they make axles. This opportunity is completely free to the repair shops. So they are getting my followers and folks that hear this podcast and other people come out and visit their repair shop. They get to tour the shop. They get to meet me. I'm going to read my book. I'm going to sign books. And then I'm going to feature them on my social media with, you know, the full series. But that's not it. So here's how I'm helping the shops and, you know, how I'm helping people in the community, but that's not it. I'm charging $5 per ticket, which is not a lot, but together with everybody that's going to come, these $5 is going to go into a pot that's going to directly fund the Jill Trotta Scholarship, which is going to launch in fall of 2024. And this scholarship is going to help provide financial assistance for tools, which we know are wildly expensive for people.
Everything's expensive today. My goodness.
Tuition and other things that women and queer folks might need when they're entering the industry, like clothing, because shops don't provide clothing for women. When they do, it doesn't fit. So for all the different things, and it's going to be different from most scholarships. Most scholarships have a really strong focus on paying for tuition, but we all know that many people in the industry don't go through a formal education process before they get their first job for lots of good reasons. Like this is, I feel like it's good that you don't have to go to school in order to get a job in the industry. So I want to make sure to support their financial needs and help the next generation of people entering the automotive industry with financial assistance so that they can get through the hard parts and help make the whole space better for all of us.
Wow. You've thought this through, haven't you?
Yeah, you know, I like just like back in the day where I said I asked all the questions and I had to understand, I have to like visualize and conceptualize how all the different elements are going to go together, whether it's a book tour or it's a book or, you know, going on the podcast and making sure that this is a space where I'm going to be respected. I try to think of all the different elements before I get into the situation. That doesn't mean it always works out the way I plan it to, but
nice job. Nicely done. Very, very exciting. It's cool. Obviously, this will all be posted on your website, so people can go find that. So we'll make sure to put links to that on Kaya's show notes page. Before I let you go today, Kaya, I'm going to allow you to go. I'm a bit of an enabler. Allow you to go on the ultimate drive, which means I'm going to park anything in your driveway. If you want that Lexus, I'll park one there. You can take it on a drive. But here's the key part. Because cars, I really think, are more about the people than the cars themselves. Cars just are the tool to bring us all together. You can take anybody with you, including somebody from the past that no longer is with us. So what does the ultimate drive look like for you?
Okay, this is going to be a little strange for this podcast, but I believe in being my full self even when I'm here. So I would love to go on a ride with Madam C.J. Walker in her Weaverly electric car circa late 1800s.
Wow.
She was one of less than 10% of all women who had a driver's license at the time that she had it. She had an extensive car collection, some of which I've seen at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Museum.
Oh, sure.
They have a basement tour and they have the Weaverly electric vehicle that she drove back in the day. So, and I just, you know, learn more about how she got into cars, because at that time, that was a really interesting question, right? And what she thinks about where electric cars have gone today, that most people think it's a brand new thing that just showed up 10 years ago, but they've been around since the 1800s. And what are the coolest cars she owns? And, you know, give me any life advice. She was an incredible woman, a business owner who made a lot of impact on a lot of people's lives. And
it's really amazing when you think about her and the time. She was a woman of color and a business owner and a driver. I mean, she was pushing against all the norms. I can't imagine the obstacles she faced back in those days. And so it makes sense to me that you would pick this lady. You and Madame C.J. Walker have a lot in common, I think, which is very cool. And it kind of makes me also think about Bertha Benz and the first car drive that a woman, or that anybody took, was a woman, right? Borrowed Carl's car and took her son's and went for a drive and even had to fix her car while she was out there. So very unique answer to that question. And I'm not surprised coming from a lady like you. Could you leave us with some parting words of inspiration or wisdom, as if you haven't already given us plenty of those during our talk today?
You know, can I say one thing to end the last question?
Of course.
When you're talking about, you know, women making these big strides in the automotive industry. And here we are today in 2024 fighting for our place in the space. It's really interesting when you think back to Madam C.J. Walker and think back to the woman who created brakes and turn signals and brake lights and wiper blades and GPS. Those were all inventions by women in their time that most people have no idea about. And I was lucky that my brand partner, iFixit, allowed me to make a video featuring these incredible women and the impact they've had on the automotive industry recently. And yeah, learning all about this and then seeing where we are today and how we're still fighting for our space. That's
interesting.
Interesting perspective.
but we're getting there. We're getting there. Thanks to people like you.
One day at a time. Okay, for my parting thoughts, I hate blinker fluid. Blinker fluid is the personification, if you will, of the sexism and homophobia and racism in the automotive industry. Because I think when people ask a genuine car question and their car professional recommends blinker fluid to them as a joke because they think it's funny to humiliate them for their lack of knowledge in the car space, that it is ultimately leaving us with a massive mechanic shortage. It's leaving us with repair shops that women can't walk into because they feel like they're going to be put in that exact position. And I feel like they're taking advantage of the power that they have at that moment, where their job is to be a professional and to recommend services that are necessary so people can safely drive their vehicles. And they're taking advantage of their position by putting that woman down in that moment. And every time somebody comments about blinker fluid on one of my videos, it puts me into a rage that, and I'm always responded, I said, listen, you get one pass. You say blinker fluid one time. I understand a lot of people think it's a joke and don't think of the connotations behind what they're saying. You get one shot. And after that, I'm blocking you, because if that's how you think of women and queer people, if that's how you think of people just trying to educate themselves on the basics so that they can get to work and get their kids to school and make sure they're not losing tons of money from the car that they've made such a big investment in, then you're not deserving of the community that I've built. And if you are a shop owner or a mechanic that behaves this way towards your customers, maybe consider rethinking it. So that was my my words of wisdom and advice about business. But ultimately, I'm so grateful for the opportunity that you've given me here today to
welcome,
share my story and my experiences and my thoughts about the industry, because I feel like a lot of people don't see outside their bubble in this space. You know, they're surrounded by people that have certain expectations, that have certain life experience, and don't necessarily think of the outside. So you're giving people an opportunity to see cars through somebody else's eyes, through other communities, spaces that they hopefully will think a little harder the next time somebody walks into their shop or to their dealership, or the next time they try to teach their daughter or their wife or any other women or queer folks of their family about cars and understand the fear that is behind going into these spaces.
Right. I understand. And I appreciate that. You know, it's really simple. Be kind, be generous, be helpful.
See people as humans.
Yes, as everybody, and see people in any situation in a way that you can help them in a positive manner. And I appreciate your comments there, because it's easy to think you're coming across funny when you haven't seen it from the other perspective.
Yeah.
That's a big part of us all learning to be better people and help everybody that we encounter in many, many ways. How can people learn more about you, Kaya?
Well, I'm Mechanic Shop Femme on all social media platforms. If you look up Mechanic Shop Femme, I make video content on Instagram and TikTok. I make written content on my blog as well, also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn if you are a professional in this industry and you'd like to start a conversation about working together or getting some education for your employees or something like that. And you can find all of my contact information on mechanicshopfemme.com. And if you're looking to buy the book, you can search Mechanic Shop Femme's Guide to Car Ownership at your favorite local bookstore or just in Google, or you can go to mechanicshopfemme.com/book. And there you'll find everything about the book, how to pay it forward if you want to do that, as well as all the rest of the stops on my book tour.
Absolutely. I'll put all of these links on Kai's show notes page in the Carsia website. If you're driving, riding, walking, running, swimming, whatever you're doing while you're listening to this podcast, make sure that you can have links. Check out Kaya, because what a powerful person you are and what great things you're doing. And I want to say a big thank you to, as I always do, to people that bring us together, Mark Osmundson, who's a past guest here, and Dar Avenius at Fascination Media for introducing us. But LinkedIn is really the main way we first got together. So that's a great tool for all professionals to use. Kaya, you're an awesome lady. I want to thank you for spending some really valuable time with us and sharing with us, and also for this wonderful book. This has been a delight. Until you and I talk again, I'll see you down the road.
Thank you so much, Mark. This was awesome.
Great fun for me too. Did you know that less than 3% of all automotive technicians in the United States are women? You may not be surprised, but you should be concerned, because our country is facing a massive technician shortage right now. Skilled, qualified techs are in high demand, and we need young women and men to consider these careers as a viable path to a fulfilling life. I've interviewed hundreds of women in the automotive sector here on Cars Yeah, and I know that women make great techs. That's why I support the nonprofit TechForce Foundation and its Women Techs Rock initiative to ensure women see themselves in the profession, the industry, and the workforce. Learn more at techforce.org today.
Thank you so much for joining us on today's ride here at Cars Yeah. Drive on over to carsyeah.com to find show notes and inspiring automotive fun. Download your free copy of Filler Up, a fun book filled with gorgeous photographs of fuel filler fun, including quotes from more inspiring automotive enthusiasts. Download your copy today, and we'll see you next time on Cars Yeah!